Welcome to Health Hats, learning on the journey towards best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. I'm the Rosetta Stone of healthcare. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in the awesome circus of healthcare. Let's make some sense of all of this. Unless we seek out our oldest and dearest friends, my wife and I spend most of our time as the oldest people in the room. At work, socially, musically, virtually, pretty much everywhere. When it's just us, she's the oldest in the room. At this, the beginning or the end of the decade, I hear people talking about their goals, their vision for 2020 or 2021, a list of what they're determined to accomplish, habits to change, new projects or careers. I think my life is wonderful. I want to maintain. Maybe because I have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis and maintaining is its own project. My wife says it's because we're old. I'd rather think that we're seasoned. But old, seasoned, it doesn't matter. We're in a new phase of life. We've done most of what we're going to do. I wanted to be a good man to a good woman and raise sons in love with strong partners who were also great dads. Voila, mission accomplished. It's all gravy now. People ask, are you retired? Well, my reply is I'm no longer a boss or an employee. Retired feels kind of like marbles in my mouth. I know you're shocked that I'm crazy busy. Consulting, advising, mentoring, podcasting, music making, being an OPA, walking, stretching, strengthening. But it's all on my own terms. I'm learning that two-letter word, no. Well, sort of. Perhaps I'm semi-retired. My friend Cynthia Meyer makes a business of these gravy years. It's called the Second Wind Movement. She talks about the five rings of retirement: growth, health, finance, community, and giving back. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining me on embarrassingly short notice. But you know what? I was going to just do like an on mic episode without an interview. And I started writing it. And there you were. And I'm thinking, this would be like totally stupid not to call you and see, oh, maybe she could talk.
Well, it's my pleasure to finally connect with you again. It's been a while.
What I wanted to talk to you about was your Second Wind Movement, this whole idea of how different life is, this stage of life. My wife and I were having this conversation last week, and the conversation was, we're so often the oldest people in the room, pretty much almost everywhere we go. And what people like talk about is what they're going to do in 2020 or 2021, what are they going to change? What are their new things? And I just keep thinking, well, I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't really have big plans for the future. And she said, honey, we're old. That's what it's about.
You're babies, you two.
Right.
And that means you're living such a robust life right now, which is awesome.
We are. We are living. We're very fortunate. So we met, you were like director of marketing and you were well into your career. And then you decided to make this change.
Yes.
Like a really a bold move. Can you tell me what was that about?
That was a very bold move. So I had been doing marketing for 15 plus years, and I met you as a marketer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the skill set was there. I mean, I just had this passion to pursue and serve a different audience. So throughout my career, I had served several different industries, several different products, and several different audiences. So I have always had this inclination to kind of serve seniors. And so the bold move was to finally do that. And what I learned from marketing was a mix of traditional and digital tactics, of course, 15 years ago. So I would say the last 5 years or so were basically digital. And so what I learned was the very powerful thing of content marketing. And so that's basically a whole bunch of research and focusing on serving your audience in the form of blog articles. And so that worked really well for the companies that I had worked for in the recent years. So in the last 5 years, I would say. And so that's what I wanted to do for this audience. And so I started by researching and writing articles. And predominantly, I was into Alzheimer's and Alzheimer's prevention. It runs in my family. And then the more I researched, it actually touches 1 in 3 of us at the end of our life. So it impacts a lot of people. And what I found the most interesting was the preventative measures that I found. And also, my heart is with this audience because growing up, I had played music. I played the violin and a lot of orchestras and things like that and string quartets, but also did some volunteer work in retirement homes. And so that kind of struck with me, just, you know, seeing a whole bunch of elderly folks just kind of waiting out the rest of their lives. So I kind of just started by writing articles and serving the audience. And then it turned into a more formal thing when I created an online course. And I just basically focused on educating the audience and giving them tactical tools and tips on how to basically live a robust life like yourself. And I teach a method that's based on the 5 rings of retirement and breaking it down into micro steps. And that's how it started. And along the way, I picked up my certification for being a life coach. So to complement someone going through this course, I would do one-on-one coaching.
And, okay.
Yeah, because everyone's individual, you know, purpose or calling or what they want out of their retirement years or their golden years is so individualized. So
it is.
Yeah.
And it seems like I'm a member of your Facebook community, and it seems like every week you're welcoming 3 to 5 people, which is steady, very steady.
It's steady. It's organic. I'm a little busy. I just had a second baby. So I'm very thankful that that's happening. It's all about finding the time to research the topics that people are interested in and helping mm-hmm. them, you know, find solutions and tactical ways to live more purposeful retirement years.
What are the themes of what people are interested in?
The first and foremost theme that I'm finding is purpose. That's like a big word that people mm-hmm. tend to talk about or they need help with. Because it's kind of like we're trained by society to live in 3 big linear chunks of like life stages. So you have education, like 0 through, let's say, 20. And then you have your work and family, which is the bulk of your life. And then you supposedly reach the finish line, and then it's the life of leisure. And that's kind of an antiquated way of looking at it. It was Dr. Ken Dichtwald that did the research on this, and it's or that stated this.
Say that again, Dr. Who?
Ken Dichtwald.
Okay.
Of Age Wave. So it's more cyclical, you know? We are interspersed, especially nowadays where there's technology at your fingertips and so many more opportunities to take advantage of. So you go through education and you can pepper that throughout the rest of your life, you know, as you yourself are an avid student of so many technologies, right? And so many different topics and so mm-hmm. many organizations. And then there's work and family, and that's, you know, the focus of that is going to be sporadically spread throughout the rest of your life. And same with leisure. Mm-hmm. You could have years of leisure right after college and go on, you know, to Europe, backpacking trip, that kind of thing.
Right.
We're trained to think that, you know, we're ready to retire, let's just chill. And that's so not the case. And that's so not healthy.
Right.
And it leads to a life of stagnancy. And then that's why there's crazy stats on the rise, like Alzheimer's, of course. But then there's also rising stats of depression and loneliness among the elderly and nursing home occupancy and just living a life of stagnancy. And oh my gosh, the number of TV, that number of hours that the elderly watch per week, like astounding, like over 40 hours.
A week?
So, yes.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I know. So we need to kind of embrace the new way.
Okay.
Hiring, which is kind of what you're doing. You know,
it is.
Example.
Yeah. I mean, I resist thinking about it like that. People talk about retirement. And I think, well, I'm not retired. I'm certainly not an employee or a boss. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm so busy retirement just seems like leisure. I don't know, leisure. Like there's nothing wrong with leisure. But I'm busy. I've got a million projects and, you know, I have my some paying gigs and some not paying gigs and music and podcasting and advocacy work. And so, you know, so I've been trying on like I'm semi-retired because that's not an employee or a boss part.
Right.
But the thing that I keep coming back to as I'm pulling people together to collaborate is that I don't want to run anything anymore. Mm. Maybe that's the not being an employee or a boss. You know, I don't want to run anything. I don't want to run a business. I mean, I have a business. I have a consulting practice.
I was going to say you're running a bunch of things. You're running this podcast. I mean, the last time we spoke, you were considering running a podcast.
This will be my 53rd or 54th podcast.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Big crazy. Endeavor. Yes.
You're right. So, okay. So maybe my not wanting to run anything is also not working for me as a label.
Well, maybe in the traditional sense, you don't want to run anything.
Yeah.
How's that? Like you don't formally want to run like a team of people who clock in and out, let's say.
No, I absolutely don't. Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I want to be able to say no. And I want to, you know, it's work just maintaining my health. And so I need time for that. And I play music. So, you know, I just started playing in a Latin band. So now I'm playing in two different bands and, you know, I need time for all of that stuff.
So are you good at saying no now?
Not really.
Cause I've known you to be so tempted by every project that you were interested in, which there are many.
Yes.
You have many passions.
I do. I'm not that good at it.
So how do you squeeze it in? The last time we spoke, you had trouble squeezing in music lessons.
Right.
One band.
But I do it. Well, how do I do it? Well, it goes to your, you know, just letting people know that you and I have had several sessions together. So not only do I belong to your Second Wind movement, but I also have taken advantage of your life coaching skills. So one of the things that you've talked about with me, which is totally not an original thought, but is an important thought, is this micro tasks. I have find that that's my method. And it seems like pretty much everything that I'm doing is I give it a little bit of time. I give it a little bit of regular time. Probably the most exciting thing that I'm doing these days is podcasting. And it's not just because podcasting is a craft and an art and it's fun. You know, and it's community, it's so many things, but it's also that I'm part of an international community of podcasters. And one of the things that we do that's a different way of saying your micro, what is it that you call it?
Micro-stepping with mini goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. Micro-stepping with mini goals. So one of the things that we do is there's maybe between 15 and 30 of us, again, worldwide, who do something called 60 seconds a day, which is that we post a audio clip and then a smaller number of people, a video clip of 60 seconds a day. And so when I say 60 seconds a day, I mean that I actually do it 4 or 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I just like do a little audio like this. But it's only 60 seconds. And then I post it and it's on an online community, and I respond to other people's 60-second posts. And people are doing all sorts of different things. They're either trying out a new technology, they're figuring out a storyline, they're just working on different facets of podcast production, 60 seconds a day. And we're finding that this 60 seconds a day is a key amount of time. It's really the everyday of doing something. So you're micro stepping. And so, for example, the music, like, you know, somebody came to me and said, we need a Barry Sax player in our Latin band. And I'm like, I've never played Latin. And I, you know, was like, why would I say yes? And so I said no. There, I said no.
Good practice.
Yeah, good practice. But then I thought, I've always wanted to be part of a horn section. And there was a, you know, an alto sax and a trombone and a trumpet, you know, so it's a 9-piece group where I'm one of 4 horns. And I thought, as long as they don't kick me out because I don't know what the heck I'm doing, all I can do is put in, I play music about an hour a day, probably 6 days a week. And now I'm working for on two with 2 bands, but it's still the same stuff. You know, it's just learning, you know, music theory and improv and the tunes, but you know, these micro steps. And so I think that what you're talking about, I think this micro step business, whatever you call it, whether it's 60 seconds a day or micro steps, I agree with you. It's really a key to, I think when I first started talking to you, it was music and it was also, I have an exercise program because I have MS.
Yeah.
And I think when I talked to you, which is more than a year ago, I think we started talking. It's maybe even
right
more than
podcast. So over 4 episodes ago.
I have my exercise routine and I was doing 2 push-ups. Mm-hmm. Per, and now I can do 17 push-ups.
Oh, wow.
That's just from every other day, putting in the half hour, 45 minutes of, you know, a little exercise balance routine. So I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah. And I think the reason why it works is because we're designed as humans to procrastinate and just kind of stay in our comfort zones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have all these great concepts that you're attracted to, that you want to pursue, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the act of doing it, like the physical act of getting up to do it, is so difficult because we're designed to just chill, reserve our energy, save it for fight or flight in case, you know, something in the wild is chasing us.
Okay.
That doesn't apply to today's modern world, right?
Yeah.
So but our brain is still designed to just kind of reserve our energy, right? And so that part of our brain, the prefrontal cortex, doesn't get triggered until we are actively deciding to do something. And the reason why it takes us so much effort to do something like practice saxophone every day until it's an ingrained habit is because it's so different. It takes extra exertion, extra energy. So if you just start with one day and you do 5 minutes, and then the next day you do 5 minutes again, and the next day you do 6 minutes, that's more important than doing a whole 70 minutes that whole week, because you're getting into the habit of just acting, and then it becomes a habit, and then you build upon that habit and you no longer have to actively make that decision.
So the inertia, you're creating inertia.
You're turning it into a habit that becomes less cumbersome the more it becomes a habit that you don't have to actively decide to do.
Now a holiday word from our sponsor, Abridge. Record the rhythms, the riffs, and the improv of your clinical visits with Abridge. Push the big pink button and record the conversation. Read the transcript or listen when you get home. Check out the app at abridge.com. That's A-B-R-I-D-G-E. RIDGE.com or download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Record your healthcare conversations. Let me know how it went. So I wanted to ask you something totally different.
Okay.
There are people who don't have purpose and they have too much leisure and they watch all this television, but there's a significant proportion of people who are in this second wind of their lives that are caregivers. And they're caregivers for their partner, they're caregivers for a parent who's even older, or they're sometimes for their kids. Are people who are in dealing with that coming into your circle?
They're not predominantly coming into my circle because they're so focused on serving other people, you know, being a caregiver. And I do have one student who, for the majority of her life, was a caregiver to her son, who became a paraplegic in his freshman year of college. And so that was about 26 years or so that she was caregiver to her son. And he unexpectedly passed. She had planned to just do that for the rest of her life. You know, they would both kind of enter the retirement home together and she would still, you know, serve as his caregiver. But all of a sudden he was gone and she had no idea who her identity was outside of her son's caregiver. And her, and she had another daughter, but they were all very closely tied to this. And so because she lacked that clarity, she luckily came into my course and we were able to work through, you know, a purpose for her and for her to find a new joy. But the tactic that we used is what we're talking about. It's, well, I call it the five rings of retirement because there's five different categories that make up a fulfilling so-called retirement lifestyle. But the process is micro-stepping with mini goals. And so we did that with her. And basically you just break down the five categories.
And what are those five categories?
So it's growth, which is keeping your neuroplasticity and your mind stimulated so that your brain doesn't go to mush and that you're constantly challenging yourself and that you're fulfilled. And community, which is you know, socializing. Health, of course, which is physical, but also mental and emotional. And then giving back, so leaving that sense of legacy or volunteerism. And then finance. That's the part that I don't focus on because so much of the industry focuses on retirees. So out of those five categories, you kind of zero in on one. And then from there, you make out a whole huge list of micro mini goals. And then from there, you break it down even more into micro steps. And you commit to one micro step every single day until you reach that mini goal. If your micro step is too big to complete that day, you need to break it down even more, right? So we did that with my student and she was able to, it was actually a huge, not a mini goal. I think it was a big goal. She actually moved out of her house and sold her house and kind of relocated.
That's a big goal.
Huge. So that was a big goal, but you know, she's going to continue on. Once that goal is completed, you go and work on your other mini goal, you know, until that category feels good. And I do like a energy level. That's how you kind of gauge how you're feeling about that category. But you know, someone who doesn't reach that point yet, maybe you're a caretaker and you don't have the time, you know, that my student did to dedicate it to, you know, just yourself. Okay. Now it's my time, right? You use the same concept, break it down into micro steps and mini goals. They could benefit, but I feel like they're so dedicated and consumed to this one thing that their life balance is out of whack. I would encourage them to look at those other four phases of their life because I'm assuming that if you're a caregiver, you're definitely giving back. It's like full energy.
So it's finding the balance.
Checking your energy level just to be like, what, something's missing. I'm feeling off. What is it? I'm not totally happy or feeling fulfilled. And then just using this as a framework and then basing your energy level on that and then physically creating mini goals. And then break it down into micro steps and then physically turning it into action steps.
You have your courses, you have your website, you have your life coaching. So is there peer communities as part of this?
Yes, yes. So there's a group, the VIP group. So anyone who wants more information on just the general articles and concepts like that. But then there's also an exclusive group for students only as a community. So yeah.
Okay, and that's where people can be supportive of each other as they're taking their micro steps. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. So great connecting again.
Okay, we're still babies. It's all relative. Microstepping and mini goals aren't only for retirees. It works for us babies too. What mini goals can I set for this year? Saying no? Stop adding on to more things? No, why would I do that? I enjoy this busy life. From my vantage point, I do have some leisure time. I'm on or I'm off. And when I'm on, it's intensely on. A mini goal could be getting ahead one podcast episode. Well, the next episode is almost ready to go. Have a wonderful new year, dear reader, dear listener. Thanks. See the show notes, previous podcasts, and other resources on my website, www.health-hats.com/pod. Please subscribe or contribute. If you like it, share it. Thanks. See you around the block.